Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Welcome back to A Matter of Truth. This is episode 24. Thanks for tuning in, downloading, listening. We appreciate it. I am Anthony. I'm your host for tonight, for today, for this afternoon, for this morning, whenever you're listening. I run the account speak.gospel.truth on Instagram as well as A Matter of Truth. So be sure to check us out there. We are getting back in the swing of it. This is the second episode for May. We try to record twice a month. We haven't been consistent and we're trying to get back to that. So thank you for your patience and all the support that everybody gives us in the prayers. It's huge. Thank you. So today we have a guest, someone who's become a friend via Instagram, and she is a fellow Marylander as well. I mean, literally like same neck of the woods as where I live, which is extremely cool. So she's going to be sitting in. Her name is Izzy, and she runs the account Saints and Society, which is an excellent account. It focuses on sound doctrine, sound theology, biblical Christianity. She doesn't pull any punches, which is awesome, and we need more of those. She speaks the truth in love, kindness, and gentleness. So we appreciate her sitting in. So let's get kind of right down to it. Izzy, thanks for joining us today.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
So this is not the first time you've ever been on A Matter of Truth, right?
Oh, you're right. I totally forgot about that.
Right?
Yeah. Yeah, when I sent in that question.
Yeah, it was in episode 10.
Funny story. I was whispering when I recorded that because my youngest was sleeping and I was up before everyone. So I'm surprised you guys were able to get that on, because I was whispering in that question. I don't know if you caught that or not.
No, it didn't sound like you were in a corner whispering or anything, and I don't think Alex caught it either. So no, it was conspiracy theory question that you had asked.
Yes.
In the church.
Yeah,
it was a great question, and I was trying to remember what our answer was, if it was good or not.
Well, yeah, if I'm being honest, I don't know if I can remember the exact answer. But I remember agreeing.
The topic was about conspiracy theories. Do they belong in the church? They don't belong in the church. Our thoughts. And my answer was based on, you know, I have a friend and he actually goes to a church and the pastor talks about aliens from the pulpit.
I'm cringing.
It's pretty bad. And my beliefs are that the pulpit is strictly for preaching the word of God. That's what it's about.
I agree. I completely agree.
It just doesn't belong in the pulpit. In general conversation, you know, you and me or someone else talking about conspiracy theories, I think it's fine. It's fine to have those kinds of conversations at the end of the day, but
it's a distraction if you think about it, because you can go down the rabbit hole with conspiracy theories and just be lost.
Oh, yeah.
For days or weeks.
Yeah, absolutely. It's rabbit holes.
Yeah.
It can get really, really bad. And it just takes your focus off the gospel. That's what the pulpit's for. Preaching the word of God from scripture.
Right.
Alone. That's it.
Yep. I'm with you. I like that answer.
Yeah. Hopefully it was a good answer. All right, let's get into this then. I have a couple questions, and then I'm going to turn it over to you, and you can introduce the topic. Saints in Society. Can you tell us a little bit about the name, where it came from, how you came up with it? Because I think it's a great name.
Yeah. I actually ended up starting Saints in Society out of just a lot of loneliness and frustration with just even certain issues I had encountered with the women's ministries I had been a part of, and really feeling isolated and like I was the only woman that really wanted to read the word and study God's word and go beyond, you know, the shallow how's the weather conversations that tend to happen in women's groups. And so that's where Saints in Society was born. I had stumbled across just an incredible online community of women sharing truth, and I was feeling so encouraged, and I kind of had this moment of, I would love to do that. So it started with simple Bible verses that I would post regularly, and then it kind of turned into things I was learning and sharing videos that were encouraging me. Yeah. And it's kind of evolved into what it is now, which is pretty cool.
That's great. And, you know, if anything good can come out of Instagram, it's, you know, this platform of like-minded believers.
Mm-hmm.
If you can impact one person, help one person, you know, that's a blessing in and of itself, even through this platform. I've had DMs, and they're appreciative, and that makes it worth it. It's really moving, and it's a blessing from God to share truth and to proclaim His word. And when people DM you and you see those DMs, it does impact you.
Yeah, it blows me away, honestly. I think the first few times I might have cried. I just look back at, you know, my life before Christ and now my life where I am now, and I just see it's all testimony to God's grace and how He's changed me and how I really am a product of grace. And I know I've said that a few times in my stories, but it's like the fact that He can use me, like a broken, sinful person, to encourage someone else and point them towards Him is really wild. And it's such a privilege. So, yeah, if it's one person, five people, 10 people, 10,000, whatever God will use me and have me, I am very grateful.
Yeah, it's amazing what God can do with anything, even these, you know, platforms.
It's beautiful, really. Like, it is.
It's really amazing. All right, so let's get into the topic. I wanted to have you on to do a Saints in Society takeover and have you kind of run the whole show. So why don't you go ahead and introduce the topic, and let's give you the mic and you can navigate us through it.
I've actually have been really excited to talk about this topic, mostly because it's one that is near and dear to my heart. But the topic for today is one that I don't think gets a lot of airtime, and not many people talk about it, but it's one that is very prominent, and it's just the topic of just the shallowness that goes on in women's ministries and the problems, the common problems that go on, and what I believe is actually the solution to many of these problems. So the majority of the way I would describe it is milk, not meat. And so I kind of broke this up into three main points, but I think the first one starts with actual shallow fellowship. So I think many women can relate to the social events that are, you know, focused on like crafting or hanging out or, you know, these fun social gatherings that aren't really much for the spirit and much to encourage us, and are kind of just hangout times, and they're labeled fellowship, when really fellowship is moving towards building towards God's kingdom. And if we're not reading the word, if we're not challenging and exhorting and encouraging each other, we're not fellowshipping, we're just hanging out. And that's kind of been a common theme in women's ministries, is just the superficial coming together, which I'm not saying it's bad. I'm not saying social gatherings are bad, but when that's the only thing you're getting in the church with other women, you're missing a lot. So I know that this then can lead to neglecting studying God's word. And, you know, this happens with not really reading the Bible together, or even depending on a book to go through or a devotional instead of actually going to God's word. Or when the times that we actually do open up the Bible, the reading and the understanding of scripture turns into like a me-centered study. And this is, it's not helpful. And in fact, it's actually really dangerous because we're not taking into consideration the proper methods to actually study scripture. We're not looking at historical context, textual context. We're not properly interpreting it and evaluating it. And John MacArthur actually had really great questions that we should be asking when we're reading the Bibles. What does the Bible say about this? And what does the Bible mean by this? Not what we want it to mean or what we want it to say. And then we can use scripture to interpret scripture. So there is a very specific way that we should be studying the Bible. And I would love to see women doing that together. But unfortunately, this doesn't happen in these shallow fellowship type circles. And I think this leads into the next point, which is unbiblical teachings kind of manage to worm their way in. And so you get things like, you know, the Enneagram, which is, you know, has the facade of just a personality test, when really, if you look at the roots, they're not as nice as that. And it actually comes from this man named Claudio Naranjo, who he admits in an interview that it was automatic writing, meaning he was getting supposed revelation from a spiritual entity, which we as Christians know is a demon. So he was being basically revealed this information by a demon, and he took that and he ran with it. And now it's seen in almost every church today. And it's just really sad that where there is a lack of a strong biblical foundation, it's only natural that one will be susceptible to false teachings and false teachers. So I also think of someone like Sarah Young, who wrote Jesus Calling, which is a really popular devotional. And she also claimed to have gotten special revelation, so words from God. The style of the devotional is written as if God is speaking through her. And this stuff is really dangerous because this is not... this is not God. This is a woman speaking as if she's hearing from him. And you're having women flock to receive and to read these devotionals and to be supposedly growing in their spirituality, when really they're just growing in themselves and tickling ears, pursuing things that are not really leading them to the truth of God's word and actually are leading them away. And I think of Word of Faith teachers like Priscilla Schreier and Beth Moore, who are super popular in these women's ministries. And they're not sound. They're not biblically sound. They appeal to the emotion. They're charismatic women. They tell good stories and they can make you laugh. But when it comes to true sanctifying work, that's not there. And if anything, it's damaging. It's appealing to our emotions as women, and it's not really giving anything of substance for us to really cling to help us get through the real difficulties of life and to really examine ourselves and to work out our salvation with fear and trembling. We're getting fed a lot of fluffy, really fluffy garbage in a lot of ways. And it's not surprising that then, I mean, these are all really interconnected, you know, shallow fellowship, unbiblical teachings, but then unchecked sin, where there is lack of accountability, where there is a lack of a pursuit of holiness, really, because if we're not seeking to grow and study God's word, and we're not seeking to be transformed by the renewal of our mind, then we're only appealing to the flesh. So in these places, in women's circles, you see gossip flourish, right? And it flourishes in the holy gossip prayer chain, you know, where it's like, oh, please pray for, and then just giant, like, you know, a thing that probably should not have been said about someone's personal life is now out there for everyone to see. Or it's a way to also slander in a way that may seem, you know, quote, holy. And it's not. And if anything, these things further divide the body and divide the church. And it causes a lot of damage in the long run. I also think of just sins that are not addressed in women's circles, such as like immodesty. This is kind of, I feel like in many ways, a taboo topic, or a topic that women can get really emotional and offended about. And I know I was once there. I was definitely in a place as a new believer where I did not want to be told what to wear or even have that brought to my attention. And I realized it was just revealing to me my own heart and my own sin and not wanting to submit to God, really. But this is a topic that kind of lets slide. We kind of just assume each woman can discern for herself. And it's this giant elephant in the room when it's not serving our sisters when we see someone in sin and we don't talk about it, especially with something like modesty, which is just the outward appearance is just the inward revealing of the inside and our willingness or lack of willingness to submit to God and submit to His word and where we're finding our identity and just the struggle that happens with the sin of modesty and modesty. And I also think of anxiety. So these are ones that I am naming specifically because they're ones that I have battled in my own life. And I know that the times that these sins have reared their ugly head and have been dominant in my life have been times where I have not been putting them to death. And I have, if anything, indulged in them. And with anxiety, scripture is clear. Like, I think of Philippians 4, I think it's 6-7, to not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, to let our requests be made known to God. And the peace of Christ, which surpasses all understanding, will guard our hearts and our minds in Christ Jesus. And the reality is, when we are fearful and we let that fear control us, and dictate how we live our lives, we're in essence saying that we don't fear and trust God. And these are just an example. I'm just touching on a few of sins that are prominent in female circles but aren't addressed. And it's this kind of like slippery slope of starting with not really going deep, not studying scripture correctly, to allowing false teachings to come in because we're not discerning, and then to letting sin reign. And the bigger problem that I think is the root of this, these issues that we see in women's ministries, all goes back to Genesis 3. So Genesis 3 is where we see the fall. And so I'm just going to turn to it. And that is, you know, the classic, everyone knows, Eve ate of the fruit, and she was deceived by the serpent. She ate the fruit, gave it to Adam, he ate, and they're cast out of the garden because they have sinned and they've rebelled against God. And the entire problem in women's ministries is a lack of proper submission that I think is starting with the woman in her own life and in her own heart. because where there's an inverted order of creation, sin's going to abound. And when we look at Genesis 3 and how the order that God has given us, which is good, because God is the one that gives us our roles. And this isn't to be mistaken with value. I think often critics that seek to mock the roles and the values that God has given us as men, biblical manhood and biblical womanhood, is to attack value and say that God says a woman is less than, which is not true. We are all image bearers. We're all made in God's image, and we all have value because He created us. And the reality is, value does not equal order. And I think of like 1 Corinthians 11, where we see that the head of man is Christ and the head of every woman is man. This is the order that God created. It is good and it is perfect and it is with a purpose. But when we look at the whole Genesis 3 curse and world that we're living in, that order is flipped on its head. So where God created man and then woman to have dominion over beast, you then get the beast, the serpent, who deceives the woman, and the woman who then tempts the man, and the man who then wants to be like God. And this order is flipped on its head, and that's what we've been living in ever since. That's the lie and the root of feminism that is so prevalent in the world and is truly seeping into the church and seeking to take root. And that's the lie that we're seeing now everywhere we turn. And so as women, we have to understand that our desire will be for our husband. And for the single ladies out there, your desire will be for the role of a man. that is what your desire will be. And we have to fight that. We have to be aware of that. And we have to be walking by the Spirit to be able to be aware and to fight this sinful tendency in us. And I really do believe that this is the foundation to all the problems that we see in ministries, because women have not been submitting to the authority in their own sphere. And that kind of trickles down and it ends up creating this giant mess. And now you see women leading other women that aren't being submissive in their own spheres and obedient to God. And then there's also, this is a point that I saw brought up in an interview that Doreen Virtue did with Susan J. Heck. So Doreen Virtue was a New Ager. She was saved radically, and she is now exposing the dangers of the New Age. She has a wonderful YouTube channel and Instagram page where she highlights and shares a lot, and she has really great interviews. And a woman she interviewed is Susan J. Heck, who is a sound biblical teacher who teaches women, who loves the Lord, and who seeks to go deep in the study of God's Word. And they were sharing a little bit about just some of their insights and things that they had seen in their own experiences with women's ministries. And Susan brought up a good point, and she was saying that pastors, in essence, have abdicated the role of women's ministries to another woman. And whereas they are shepherd of an entire flock, they've now kind of just given the reins to a woman to lead and to, you know, shepherd and a smaller flock, right, to shepherd these women. But what happens is when the shepherd is not looking over his entire flock and he's not taking care of his entire flock, and then a portion of the flock is off doing its own thing, there's going to be some problems, and there's going to be false teachings that can come in, or weak teachings, or just not growing in maturity. And that the pastor, because he has abdicated this role, we're kind of seeing the trickle down in modern evangelicalism, the role of women's ministries and what they have morphed into, where they're either a glamorous pie baking group, or they're an outwardly rebellious group with women preaching and teaching and being in rebellion to God's word, and being in rebellion to 1 Timothy 2:12. So it's kind of this extreme pendulum swing that's happened, where you get outward rebellion on one side and then this caricature of womanhood, which is not even really biblical. It's more traditional. I guess it gets some elements from scripture, but it's more focused on the outward, and it's missing the inside, and it's missing the true heart of really submitting to God. And that kind of leads into my last, I wouldn't say last point, but the solution to all of these issues. And I think the solution always starts with us women. It starts with our own heart and submission before God, regardless whether anyone else is doing it, regardless whether we're in a place where it's easy, whether it's hard, whether it feels like an uphill battle, or whether we're surrounded by wonderful women that love the Lord and are walking with us and encouraging us. It doesn't matter. We are called to submit to God and to obey Him, to keep His commandments. And scripture that I wanted to share in that regard that came to mind is Psalm 86:11. Teach me your way, O Lord, that I may walk in your truth. Unite my heart to fear your name. So really, this should be the prayer that we all have as women, and that we should be seeking God and seeking to submit to Him, and that the change to bad women's ministries starts with us. And this looks different for every woman. For, you know, the girl who's still at home and who's under the submission of her father, that is who you're submitting to God, and you're submitting to the authority that God has placed in your life. To the wife who is given a husband, we're called to submit to God, submit to our husbands, and to the single woman who is not married. We are called to submit to the authorities, to your local church, to your local pastor and elders. And God has given us these orders for our good and for His glory. And it is how He designed us and created us to function. And it's so countercultural. It's so opposite of the world. But it is a way that we can honor Him. And I think a good question to ask is, are we doing these things before we kind of point the finger outward to name all the problems that we see, which are true. They may be very true, but it's an opportunity for us to look inward and to do that, you know, that hard mortification of sin, putting to death our flesh, and walking in holiness. It's an opportunity for us to do those things. And I don't want to make light of the fact that these can be very painful moments, especially when you feel so isolated, and I've been there, and you feel so alone, and it just feels in some ways just very hopeless. My encouragement to you ladies who are there is to cry out to God, to cry out to Him. He knows the desires of your heart, that He has ordained this time, and it's not without purpose, that it is not in vain, that we have that hope as children of His and as heirs, that He is working all things out for our good and for His glory, and that we can press in those moments. We can look inside as to what He may be teaching us about our own sin and how He's sanctifying us and growing us. And a wonderful, wonderful quote that I came across when I was kind of coming up with this outline is from Charles Spurgeon, and it goes like this: "Stale godliness is ungodliness. Let our religion be as warm and constant and natural as the flow of the blood in our veins. A living God must be served in a living way." So my encouragement to you ladies is this is an opportunity to serve God in a living way. In those valleys that seem difficult and trying, is an opportunity for our godliness to be, to come to life, and our opportunity to worship Him, and our, in essence, our faith be tested and be revealed. So my heart is with you. I encourage you to pray. And I also encourage you to find the community that you can, even if that's, you know, just your one and only Christian friend, whether that's in person or online, which is how I started off when I started Saints in Society. Go and find that community where you can. Pursue them. And be persistent. I know I often complained of lack of discipleship from older women. And when I realized that I hadn't been reaching out to older women, I kind of had this moment of like, oh, I kind of need to do that. Like, I can't just assume these women are going to know what I'm thinking. Wouldn't that be nice? But we have to make the effort. We have to, you know, as awkward and as strange as it may seem, go up to, if you know of any older women in your church or in your community that are loving the Lord and you want to learn and glean from them, just ask them to hang out, to have a cup of coffee, glean from them, and take those steps, because really we can sit and we can complain and we can find fault all day, but we have the opportunity to be able to trust in God and also take action. Those two are very important. But it's also important to have grace, towards the ministries that are not perfect or far from perfect, and to remember that, you know, love covers a multitude of sins, and that we're called to encourage one another, to build each other up, and that, you know, all that we do should be done in love. So where the temptation is to be critical, to be judgmental, and to point the finger, we can seek to be gracious and loving. But this isn't to be, I guess, mistaken with staying somewhere where there is heresy, where there is false teaching and false doctrine. There's actually times to leave a church. And I know John MacArthur wrote a phenomenal article that where he kind of breaks down the times that he would biblically say are appropriate to leave a church. And I think maybe we can put that in the show notes. But there are times where we are not called to stay in a church that is in rebellion to God. But there's discernment and wisdom that comes into seeing if this is a core essential doctrine issue, or if this is a matter of ignorance and secondary, and that can be worked through in communication and prayer and patience. So I just wanted to clarify that. And I think that's pretty much all that I can think of when it comes to the solution. And pray, really pray. Prayer does wonders for our soul. And it is incredible when God is faithful, and we can, well, God is always faithful, but it is incredible when we can point to the prayers that have been answered, and that God has walked us through long, you know, periods of suffering or doubt or pain, and we see when he brings us through. And my encouragement is to pray for the fellowship that you're designing, pray for the leaders in your women's ministries, pray that you may be that Titus 2 woman, that God equip you and that he sanctify you so that you may be able to disciple and to teach and to serve other ladies around you in that way. And the last thing I want to leave with is, I don't know if I said the last thing was the last thing. I'm getting all turned around a little bit. But this is why I have my notebook. I wanted to share a few resources that for me have been absolutely just critical, and that they have been with me since I became a believer, and I'm so thankful for them. It's pretty incredible how we have a computer with us at all times. Like, our phone is insane, what we, the wealth of resources that we now have at our fingertips. It's pretty awesome. We can listen, we can watch, we can read just about anything. And there are very sound, solid theological resources that are available for free. So the top one that I would have to say I have listened to almost every day before I became a mom, almost every day as a new believer, and then, you know, motherhood changed things, but I still try to listen to regularly, is Ligonier. So Ligonier is R.C. Sproul's ministry, and they have evolved into, I think they have a an app, and I think they have a podcast, or on the app they have their 20-minute teaching series, which are available through radio. They have a daily video, they have a reading plan, they have articles. They also have a magazine you can subscribe to, and they have wonderful devotionals and wonderful resources and articles from theologians. And it truly has been super impactful and has covered just a wealth of theology for me. I've learned so much about church history. I've learned so much about just even certain reformed doctrines and creeds. And they have so many resources that are helpful and will aid you in your Christian walk wherever you are, whether that's you're a new believer or an older believer. I couldn't recommend Ligonier enough. And I also, second one I recommend is the ESV Bible app, because they have an audio option. So for those of you that, you know, are driving back and forth, have long commutes, or are home with your little ones and have less time to read, or just have time to listen, I've listened to a majority of the ESV Bible through that app. And it's also has wonderful reading plans that you can go through. And it's great because you can have it on your phone. And the ESV Bible, the study Bible, is actually also wonderful. I think getting a good commentary is super helpful, especially if you want to start digging into just understanding a little bit more about the context of the scriptures that you're reading. You don't need a commentary. I do believe that the Holy Spirit helps us to understand and to interpret scripture, but a commentary is super helpful. And the ESV Study Bible is great. The Reformation Study Bible is wonderful. I've also used the HCSB. I think it's a CSB now. But I don't want to overwhelm you guys with that. I'll just leave you with Ligonier and the ESV Bible. Those are wonderful resources to start with and to really get lost in learning more about God. And to not be long-winded, I think those are just a general summary of my personal encounters that I've seen with women's ministries, and also the root and how we can be as women combating those problems in our own lives. And I hope and I pray that this was helpful and encouraging for you guys. Thank you, Anthony, for having me on to talk about this.
Absolutely. Thank you.
It's something that I really desire to see women equipped with, knowing God's word, and truly have a desire and a passion to know him, because what we know about God and how we how affects how we worship. So our theology, in essence, informs our doxology. So if we have a poor foundation, we're going to have poor doxology. And it's so important to know God and to study his word and to rightly value and love his word. And
that's a great point. It's a point that you don't see too much coming out of the pulpits, how to rightly praise and worship God. So you nailed that. And I think we're at a great stopping point. I really appreciate you taking the time, Izzy, to come up on here and to share this this great word. And you know what? Can you go ahead and share with everybody who is listening how they can find you?
Yes. So I'm on Instagram and under @saintsandsociety. And I'm also on Twitter. And I don't use that one very often. And it's Saints and then the letter N Society, just because there's not enough letters on Twitter, unfortunately. I've recently launched an apparel shop, just by the way.
Yeah, I saw that.
So, yeah.
That's awesome.
That was, it's been a fun project to work on. So some of the graphics and stuff I'd shared on Instagram, I had requests made for stickers. So I had a little Etsy shop going for a while, and being the crazy busy mother that I am, also homeschooling my kids and still doing photography on the side,
wow,
I couldn't keep up with my my sticker order. So I started kind of like another shop, which is more like, I don't want to say, it's like, kind of like drop shipping. So you can order and then it comes from a third party. But
cool.
It's a great way to get different products other than just stickers. So now I have apparel as well. And that website is saintsandsociety.com.
Yeah, so back around Christmas time, you sent me one of your stickers. I got it in the mail.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. It was awesome. I loved
it. Yeah, I sent it to a group, quite a few people. Oh, I'm glad.
Yeah. Well, look, on that note, thank you for joining us.
Thanks for having me. This is a good conversation.
It was a great conversation. It really was. And I want to thank everybody who's listening again. And we are a matter of truth. Go check out some old episodes. We got plenty for you guys to listen to. We'll be back maybe next week. I don't know. We'll see. But anyway, thank you. God bless you. And have a great rest of your week.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here, and it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
When you make decisions for your company, you look for the no-brainers. And if you have a lot of mailing to do, Stamps.com is the ultimate no-brainer. It streamlines your processes to make your business more efficient, which makes you less busy. Mail checks, invoices, legal documents, and everything you need to keep your business running with Stamps.com. Seamlessly connect with every major marketplace and shopping cart. Schedule package pickups and see your cheapest and fastest shipping options from different carriers. With rates up to 89% off USPS and UPS rates. And with the Stamps.com mobile app, you can take care of mailing and shipping wherever you are. Make the same no-brainer decision as over 1 million other businesses with Stamps.com. Sign up with code PROGRAM for a 4-week trial, plus free postage and a free digital scale. No long-term commitments or contracts. That's Stamps.com. Code PROGRAM.